good morning. It is great to see you all today after the wild and wet weather we had this last week. Somehow we've made it through the storm, and we're here together on Easter Day. And a special warm welcome to you all, especially to those visiting with us for the first time today. We're glad that you're here. We hope you'll stay around for a chance to talk and share some coffee and snacks after the service. We gather today for the sights and sounds of Easter. This is the day that we remember and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus with joy in our hearts. And today is a day of joy. Amen? All right. There's a story about a retired Anglican bishop named John Sperry who was working up in the Yukon Territory in Canada. And he was living with the Inuit people, who are an Eskimo tribe, and he was working with them to translate the Bible into their native Inuit language. And as they went along, he realized that the Inuit language doesn't have a word for joy. It doesn't have a single word for joy. Instead, they have a series of metaphors and images to try and express what that is. So in their Bible translation project, when they got to the Easter story, to when Jesus appears to the disciples and how joy filled their hearts, it's translated this way in Inuit. When the disciples saw the Lord, they wagged their tails. Isn't that great? They wagged their tails. Well, we are wagging our tails today, aren't we? Joining them in the celebration of what the hymn called our triumphant Holy Day. And as we turn again to the Easter story and to God's word for our lives today, let's join in a time of prayer. Let us pray. God of glory, fill your church with the power that flows from Christ's resurrection, so that in the midst of a sinful and hurting world, it may signal the beginning of a renewed humanity, risen to new life with Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. I was driving last week in East Providence, and I passed one of those big digital signs on the roadside. You know the ones like you might see outside of a CVS advertising deals on paper towels or toothpaste? Only this sign was a little bit different because it was outside of a pet store. And it had these big digital blinking letters that said, new puppies today, new puppies today, new puppies today, blinking just like that. And then the screen changed. And the next thing it showed was a little animated bomb. You know the kind with a wick that sizzles down, down, down until pow, it explodes? This is what the sign had on it. And it was going back and forth between new puppies today and an exploding bomb. I couldn't figure out for the life of me what the meaning of this sign was supposed to be. Was it like, hurry up and get your puppies before they explode? Or maybe a threat, like, come and buy a puppy or else we'll blow them up. I don't know. I'm not sure what it meant. I think their marketing department might need to revisit that sign a little bit, re-examine that. But it got me thinking, this bomb and these poor little puppies. It got me thinking about a question that I want to ask you today. Here it is. If there was a ticking time bomb, like the one on that sign in your house, and your family was safe, they were somewhere else, and your puppy was safe, that's important, and you had time to run back into your house and save something, bring something out before the bomb went off, what would you get? What would you really want to save out of your house if there was a time bomb ticking, about to blow everything else to smithereens? I invite you to turn to a neighbor and share what you think. What would you bring out of that house if there was a ticking time bomb? Come on back now, friends. part of the good news of this morning is the coffee hour is after the sermon, so you can stick around and continue the conversation at that point. Let me see a show of hands. How many of you said you'd go in and take out your TV? Anyone go for your television? I didn't think so. Come on. Well, I don't need to see a show of hands, but I'm wondering how many of you said that you would go inside and bring out photos? Yeah, or photo album, or maybe a computer with all your digital photos on it. Yeah, a few of those. Some kind of keepsake or memory. How important those things are to us because of how they help us to remember, right? It's so important to remember that we would even run back into a house with a ticking time bomb and bring out those old, cherished memories. Well, the women who found the stone rolled away at that tomb and who discovered it to be empty were surprised by two men in dazzling white who appeared to them on that first Easter morning. The terrified women bowed their faces to the ground and wondered, who might these angelic visitors be? Those Easter visitors said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. This is the classic Easter proclamation. The one you thought was dead is alive. The one you thought was here is not, because he has been raised to new life. And after that, the angels say something to the women that is lost sometimes in the details of the story. They say, remember. Remember. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, how the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners, crucified, and on the third day rise again. And when the women hear this, it's like they're opening up that old photo album. They're seeing again those familiar faces and places. It jogs their memories, and then they remembered his words. Now, remembering has always been part of the biblical story. Moses said to the people, remember this day on which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Psalm 77 says, I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders from of old. And of course, near the end of Luke's gospel, that plea of the thief on the cross to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And so we are called. We're called to remember, but like the women in that story, the truth is that we often forget. Not that we forget Easter, of course. We all managed to remember that, to show up today looking our finest. You all look fine. But what I think we forget is how connected the Easter resurrection story is to the rest of the story, to everything else that has come before it, to God's overarching plan. The angels say to the women, remember the things he told you while he was still in Galilee. Remember the things he used to teach you and tell you. It's as if the biblical faith might be a giant map of the continent of Africa. Can you imagine it that way? Let me see if I can give you a visual help. Imagine a map of Africa. There it is. Help you out. Imagine that we are taking a journey together throughout the year across the broad geography of our faith. We travel through the story of God's work in creation. We're there near the top. We visit the patriarchs and matriarchs of the Old Testament. We stop by the royal palace and listen to those psalms of King David and Solomon. We spend some time at a public demonstration where all the cars are stopped and the prophets of the Old Testament are out waving signs and calling. The continent of our faith is large, and there's so much to explore as we move through it. So we continue along, and soon we discover that Jesus is there with us. We listen to his parables. We experience the power of his healing touch. As we travel with Jesus, we grow from our initial calling as disciples into deeper and more active faith. We're walking with Christ day by day across this great continent of our biblical faith. Can you see it? And then comes Holy Week, Palm Sunday, the Last Supper, the betrayal, suffering, and death of our Lord on the cross. They're all here. They're all part of the story. All stops along the way in this land that we are trekking through together. And by the time we make it all the way down to Easter Sunday, it can seem as if we are all the way at the very tip, at the end of the continent. Maybe we're even off the edge of land and over onto the island of Madagascar. Can you see it there? Can you see Madagascar? I think that's where Easter finds us today. Madagascar, an island, almost off the edge of the map. I wonder if Easter feels that way to you, like an island unto itself, full of family and festivity and food. It's a nice place to visit, but you know, you can't live there, can you? Because tomorrow you have to go back to your real life, your life that is centered on the mainland, back to a job that's on shaky ground, or maybe no job at all, back to your relationships and your kids, and your relationships with your kids, back to doctor's appointments and prolonged illnesses, back to surgery or chemo, back to the clenching fist of grief, loneliness, or uncertainty. Sure, it's nice to drop in on this brief island stopover here on Easter, but you got to get going. Back from Easter Island, back to your real life. Well, I want to give you a little geography lesson today. This time, we don't need the map to help us understand. Because Easter is not located on an island, cut off and isolated from the rest of the continent, from the rest of your life. Instead, Easter, with its promise of resurrection to new life with Christ, is located at the center. It is at the very beating heart of our faith. It is smack dab in the middle of the map of your life and of our shared faith. To leave Easter out on an island offshore, a festive day, but nothing more, is to forget the words of Jesus. But we are called to remember. Amen? We are called to remember. Remember, it was Jesus who said, "For God so loved the world, the whole map." Remember, it was Jesus who said, "Even the hairs on your head are counted. Do not be afraid, for you are of great value." Remember, it was Jesus who told them how all of this must happen to him, how he would suffer and die, and how on the third day he would be raised again from the dead. All of this was part of God's plan from the beginning. And when we remember that, we are able once again, along with Mary and those other women from that morning, and with believers of every time and place, to trust that our God, the God of love, the God who has raised Jesus on Easter morning, is really in charge. He's in charge of our world and of our lives. What was broken on Friday is made right on Sunday. I call on you, church, to remember. The cross couldn't stop him, the grave couldn't hold him, and here on Easter morning we can proclaim together, once again, Christ the Lord is risen today. So this resurrection reality is not just an island that we visit once a year. Instead, it is a broad place of faith. It is a whole continent of meaning, a place where we can move and stand, where we can explore and live our lives in the sure and certain hope that Jesus who died has been raised up once again. So remember this day. Remember. Remember that God, the God of love, is ultimately in charge. And that through the resurrection of our Lord, we are able to live as God's resurrection. My prayer for you this day, this Easter day, as you start to remember, like Peter, who started to remember, got up and ran, that you too might start to remember, might might get up from this place, built up in your faith, reminded of the depths of God's love and care for you, and go forth into the world in love and service to be God's resurrection people, not just here in an island, but out there in the continent of our lives, the broad places you go to, all of the travels where this week and every week will take you. May the risen Lord Jesus go with you, strengthen you for the journey, as you proclaim again, Christ who died,